Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults, by adults, containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Expires. September 2001.
So it ended when the towers fell. Is what you're telling me?
No, the towers fell.
And the Aspire was
they
done.
They set that shit out of ways, man. That stuff was done.
Actually, the towers still existed when that Neosporin came into being.
Expired. I'm saying it expired as the towers fell.
The Neosporin
fell. Internet. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
If only that was the worst thing we've ever said on this podcast. If only.
Three presidents? What? How many presidents did that Neosporin see?
Just two.
I left high school. I had my entire single years. All the horrible dates. All the moves.
How many girlfriends did that Neosporin
see? Oh, my God. Yeah. All of them. Everyone.
Damn.
It's been waiting. It was full.
It's a Neosporin of the ages.
Untouched. My father was incredulous when I was like, it's still fine.
I said, how would you know?
I said, shit. First of all, yeah, okay. Safety factor. 5 years. Okay. I'd say so. It might be all right. The consistency of this shit. That's actually what makes... I don't normally pick up a thing and immediately scour for the expiration date. I actually put some on my finger and it came out like it just... That was... Neosporin normally had some substance to it.
Yeah, sure.
No, this is giving up the ghost, man. Whatever gelatin is in there... Exactly. It was just a little puff of smoke that came out onto my finger. And I'm whacking at my nose because I got this giant scratch. Son of a bitch. 15 years. And that was since it, again, when it probably was in its prime, was probably 5 years before that.
Its prime?
Yeah. They probably bought it when I was in high school there.
15 years.
It's seen the first black president.
That's like statutory on that
news. Yeah, go ahead, Neosporin, get the drive.
All right, how long have we been riffing on Neosporin?
Oh, shit, are you recording?
Ladies and gentlemen. We got a good 3 minutes on Neosporin.
I forgot to turn off the speaker, so we probably got some reverb, too. Oh, that I actually will edit out for you.
Is this American Life? I'm Ira Glass. Each week we bring you a show based on a theme. This week's theme, DC Comics. We've come to Act 1 of our program. Act 1. Aquaman who? No, I'm kidding.
This is Full of Sound and Fury, of course. I'm Cyrus Marzavi. I write, I draw, I kind of host this podcast. With me tonight, covered in Neosporin, Keyshawn Xavier.
That's all I got. I had my rant.
You had your rant.
That was it.
You calling it?
Yep. When I was young, I used to be real happy that I had blonde hair, blue eyes. I thought, man, I'm like Luke Skywalker. And today, at the end of the day, I was standing there and my leg gave out and my ankle sprained. And I thought about how old I'm getting. And then I realized I'm turning into Anakin when he takes off the helmet.
This is still all of his introduction.
Yes. And turning into Keyshawn, Anakin in the helmet.
We've come to Act 2 of our introduction.
So when do you toss the Emperor over?
No, we have not.
Like, when is that going to... Who is the Emperor, and when do you toss him or her?
Soon. You got to bring balance to the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. That was it. All right, you got to talk for a while now. That was my intro.
Me.
Yeah. Also with
top
us,
that.
Remembering 9/11 proudly, Patriot, Kung Fu Master, Ariel Rodriguez.
I apologize again to the internet. Yes,
Do not apologize to the internet.
I punch things occasionally.
The internet should apologize to us. Awful shit on the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's true.
You can forgive it.
Oh, but some of that porn.
Yeah, but
let's not go down this path, really.
Remember back to what it
used
to
turn,
be.
As we turn this direction of this path down into the woods, I say no.
We've never had a porn cast.
Yeah,
we're not going to. No, let's keep it that way.
Yeah,
I think it's pork and we
yeah let's not stray in that direction.
Aww. No.
That,
well, that way. Like a baby was born.
There's a, there's a certain porn anthropologist friend of ours that you could have. You can go have an episode with. I will not participate.
I know nothing about it.
Right.
What
deny,
is porn?
deny.
Porn denier.
Now I'm dying to know who the porn anthropologist is.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. You're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah. I don't think I want to know.
Had something. I lost it. Oh, yeah. So I've changed the setup a little bit to try and improve the audio. Also, I'm going to try this new technique called talking louder.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, it's all the rage. I'm going to give it a shot. So 2 weeks ago, we went to PAX South.
That was two weeks?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Keyshawn, your first
PAX. That's right.
So report in.
You want to leave it off?
You're tired.
Still?
It was great. I filled out the survey.
Oh, you did? Down
yeah.
Line, things
I wrote like... it like a love letter, too. I...
Did you complain about the noses?
No.
Okay.
No. They turned me back around. They did. No. I'm like, oh, hey, they're old like me. Feels bad. I felt better by that.
I think their ankles still work.
Yeah, well, they're functional.
Mm. Well.
Not all of us are so lucky.
But Carilli did have a scratch.
He did have a scratch.
Yeah. I bet his Neosporin was not 20 years old, though. I think he could probably afford fresh Neosporin.
No, PAX was good. It was fun. I had a blast.
Cool, man.
Okay.
I can't remember much.
We saw a lot of panels.
Talking about it.
Now we'll bring it down.
Went to panels
yeah.
and went to the Expo Hall. I mean, PAX South, I think, as everybody admitted at the show itself, it was smaller than PAX East and PAX Prime because it was the first time.
Blessedly, might I say?
Yeah, in some ways, yeah. I think that if you've been going to PAXs and you went to PAX South, I think you could probably say it was pleasant that way because the crowds were not as big and you can get to see a lot of different things.
Less fragrant?
Yeah, a little less fragrant.
Oh, way to represent San Francisco.
Trust me.
I got stuck behind some teenager. I didn't say teenager. This is just one guy.
Actually, he's right.
Holy
but you
Lord.
Continue.
There was one teenager
oh
that was...
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was...
But
man,
just one? That's pretty
good. It was like 4 feet.
I did walk through a lot of farts.
Oh, I don't
really?
Know
yeah.
Farts.
No, I blame the text mix.
We were hanging out.
But it was a lot of farts.
I'm sorry.
But, all right. But yeah, overall, was, yeah. overall...
Oh, I loved it.
Definitely humans.
The yeah. indie... That whole exhibitor... Wing.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
There was a lot more indie this time,
that
I think,
was
because
great.
The big companies, I don't think,
build
were sure what to
all.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think once they see that it's got the same kind of vibe and atmosphere and crowds that
yeah. they thought they'd just be cowboys.
Well, I don't know. I think they it's just speculative, right? They're not sure if they should invest the resources in going down there and setting up a huge booth, but I think now there's evidence that it's going to be
that was definitely a recurring theme of the show, was please don't leave.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed like everybody was skeptical this was going to happen, and it was going to happen more than once.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
They've pledged to come back. So
more times, right?
I think it's successful. You know, I think it went really well.
Tell me what date it is.
HBG was bigger than I realized from my tours with it.
Okay.
Like, the con that I've worked there is like one little corner they didn't even use.
Oh, so they rented out like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, there's like a... I was worried about the main theater.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize that was back there. I was like, oh, this is... It was small, but for the first time, good enough. Moving forward, they may have problems with that once they get those actual PAX crowds that we're used to.
But. Yeah, perhaps. But, yeah, I think they got room to grow in there, and the Expo Hall could be easily be twice as large.
Yeah, for sure.
Without an issue, from what
and
we
they
saw.
And they are expanding, they said, too. So.
Yeah, so, great.
Yeah. I enjoyed having, like, close food, too.
Yeah.
That was refreshing as well. So
I just remember in Seattle there being, like, a few options, but it was challenging.
Boston's the one that's
and
tough.
Boston is even harder.
Yeah. Which is...
Well, if...
At
I mean,
least
you get, you
close
gotta,
to the convention.
Yeah, anyway. Close to the convention. I mean, you get access to the tea in Boston, and you can kind of eat whatever you want, like any other person who lives there, but...
Yeah.
Definitely within walking distance of the convention center is challenging, I agree. But San Antonio. It's going to really be
so
problem.
Cold this year.
At PAX East?
Like next month, isn't it?
It's yeah. next month. What did Mike and Jerry say?
Hit all
like,
of them?
I'm not going to PAX East
myself.
We
actually did not
but,
get tickets. Yeah. It's actually the no, first kidding. PAX East I won't be going to, and I'm
wow. Okay.
I'm kind of sad about it, but not really.
Not really.
My balls are extremely excited about not being frozen for 3 days. But yeah,
I'm amazed. Yeah. I'm stunned. Why?
Oh, because they insist on selling tickets right in the middle of the workday.
Yeah, it's hard to jump in. Yeah, it sells out fast. Prime is almost impossible to get tickets to
yeah.
at this point, I would say, at least for me, given my work schedule. And
are they scalped online or stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are places you can get tickets.
If you want to go scalped. Bad enough, you can go. But yeah.
But it is a challenge to get tickets.
Day
to,
and date, as they
yeah,
say,
is
next
hard.
Impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, part of me, I was saying this to someone at PAX South, like, part of me is kind of okay with that nominally, at least for Prime and East, because I've gone so many times. I was actually looking through my, like, I keep my badges, and I was going through, I'm like, man, I've been going to PAX since 2008. And I'm like,
oh, okay.
I've been going for a while now, so I'm happy to let someone else take my slot if it's someone who hasn't gone before, and just kind of keep the positivity going and let it, you know, infect more people. You know, I'm happy to just go to one and be okay, and even one is like, you know,
I
all
was
right.
really surprised to hear that they find that people that buy 3 days don't often go more than 1 or 2 days.
Huh.
It feels like if you're going to travel to something like
yeah.
that, you go.
Yeah.
Unless something happens, but apparently
true.
That was huh. something that they've just, and God knows how they
yeah, I was wondering how they track that,
because
they don't really, like, scan a badge or anything.
South
like,
doesn't
no barcode.
Do. South doesn't.
Yeah. I didn't see anybody scanning barcodes even at East
yeah.
when we were there last time. Like, they check, you know, of course, but, you know,
yeah.
they'd have to, I don't know. I'm sure they've got some way of doing it.
Prime does.
Okay.
Yeah. They have.
I don't remember.
I don't know what the hell anyway. That tech is, but that was the year I almost died of food poisoning, which was
oh,
unrelated
right.
to PAX Prime, but sucked nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what those people go do the other 2 days.
I don't know.
I'm just going to buy this.
They should just buy a one-day pass and...
Wouldn't you at least sell it?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't get it. It's bizarre.
I don't know.
But, yeah. As a result, there will be, I guess, less 3 days moving forward.
Hmm.
What?
Yeah.
They're going to sell less 3-day badges?
Yeah. In favor of adding more singles.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense in terms of getting more badges in people's hands for the same number of slots, like in terms of total population allowed in the convention center.
Oh.
Because
so
yeah,
there's
yeah.
a term for that, but I can't remember yeah. off the
And they'll probably increase their profit too. I mean, they're just going to sell more badges. Like
yeah.
more money will be spent.
Saturday is going to become a bitch to get into. I mean, it already is.
Yeah, it already
but,
is.
Like, more, I feel like more so that's going to be a...
Sad race?
Saturday.
Oh.
We're back.
I'm trying to enunciate, but evidently I'm failing. If you got sad race.
What was the phrase last time?
Fickle Mistress Lemur.
Fickle Mistress Lemur. We're back in Fickle Mistress Lemur territory.
Well, he actually said that.
Yeah. The description of Hollywood, as I recall.
That's right.
Really? I don't remember Lemur. Actually,
we've done almost 30 of these.
Yeah, we did Lemur.
We've never once been on drugs. But
that's
by the content,
true.
You...
Well, it's totally not
Keyshawn
true.
Has a separate condition.
I have never been on drugs.
I have also never
yeah.
been on drugs.
I've been high as a kite. All the fuckers.
That's true.
I think before we said that, though, it would have been funny to survey the listeners and see who, which of the guests on the
I
show
totally
think,
cut this out.
They think has been most on drugs.
We have listeners.
Would they vote for Riyadh? Would they vote for Keyshawn? Would they vote for you? For me?
How many listeners do we have now? America!
What?
Are you out there?
That doesn't. That's not how
they can't respond.
They
can't.
Are you on drugs? But sure, why not? But okay, so
Bro Force.
Story time. Okay,
Bro Force.
Never mind. We'll start on Bro Force.
Bro Force.
RoboCop.
Oh, Brominator.
Colonel James Brodock, or Brodick, or whatever it was. Instead of
Brad. Brode. Me bro. Have
yeah.
you played it?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Before,
we
yeah.
played it together, Cyrus and I.
Yeah.
We were at the booth.
See, I was at the booth.
Drug free.
Didn't realize what I was looking at. I was like, okay, it's a destructive Contra. And it wasn't until I got home
it
and
is,
got to really
so
look
much
at it
more.
And realize, oh, no,
wait,
no.
Wait, you played it and you didn't know what it was
going
on?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't realize it. Didn't it was so much chaos with all the people around
everything
else.
That's true. And that, there's a lot going on the screen.
Yeah,
the
well, God, it was just chaos on the screen. It was chaos all around me. And I'm like, okay, so this is kind of like Contra. I don't know, you know? I didn't quite realize, because I wasn't rescuing anything. I was just hopping around. I didn't switch over and then go, aha, I'm Mr. Bro, or Bro-T, or whatever they did. Or Rambro.
Rambro, yeah.
That's God, Robocop. I think that may be my favorite.
Is one of the best, I
Robocop. God, I love that game. Go buy it. $15. Buy me online.
It's amazing.
Oh, it's on Steam. Early, it's on Steam Early Access. So technically it's still in beta. It's not fully released, but...
I can't believe how much fun that game is. Mm-hmm. I'm playing it still. Oh, I can't believe how much fun it is.
Yeah. Broforce.
Oh, yeah. That's good stuff. And, Super Fight.
Super Fight?
Oh, God. Got to play my first Super Fight game last night.
I saw your tweet about that.
Oh, that was great. 7-year-old daughter brought the thunder.
Yeah.
And killed me. I didn't expect that there'd be hilarity out of the G-rated version. And my daughter just floated to astronaut.
Oh, I didn't realize that was what I saw the tweet as well, and I was confused by that. I was like, "He's letting them play that? All right."
There's, oh no, no, they have the green box. It's G-rated.
Gotcha.
And so some, you know, My Little Ponies and
the red box is R-rated.
Yeah. Right.
The red
is
expansion.
It like the middle, or is it just red?
There's a standard deck, and then there are. Expansion packs are different colors that modify somehow. They'll add a battleground, like a terrain, or they'll have R-rated stuff or G-rated stuff. Or, but most of the standard set is like innocuous enough that it doesn't. It's not like Cards Against Humanity where it could be.
That's true as well.
Yeah, the standard Cards Against Humanity.
That is definitely in a for mature.
The name of the game, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the R-rated, no.
Oh, you bought the R-rated one as well?
Oh no. So I was complimenting the guy.
And he just
on the game, and I was like, that's the best thing I've seen. And now, pause. I didn't know what I was doing with Broforce. I didn't understand what Broforce was. So when I saw Super Fight, I was like, this is the best thing I saw at PAX. Not realizing that Broforce was also out there.
You can have two favorites. Yeah, you can have two things at PAX.
Whoa, are you recanting?
No,
Super Fight was the best thing at PAX.
No, there were two best things, but one of them I didn't realize was the best thing at the time. But at least it led me enough to go, I'm going to look at it when I get home. And
best things. You really are a parent.
What?
I love you all equally.
Yeah, what is this bullshit?
Well, the best one was be Super Fight.
There you go.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah.
You give that the silver medal. For shame, Broforce.
Super Fight was great. Anyway, I complimented the guy a lot about his game, and he was just like, thanks, and gave me another set.
Cool.
And the orange deck, which is for geeks, so he nailed it. He nailed it. Oh, damn it. There was a third, but it's the promise of something awesome and not really awesome delivered. I should be smacked. I can't remember if I pointed it out to you guys. It was this hardware that they're going to go into. It was kind of pre-alpha. They have it developed. They were showing it off, and it's a multi-screen box that allows you to have up to like 8 different HDMI sources all on one screen. You can have your Xbox.
Where was this?
You didn't see it?
No.
Oh, my God.
So they gave me
a special pin, and they were like, you better hold on to it, because this could be, like, really valuable.
You just brought your whole PAX bag here. You just...
Yeah.
You just...
Oh, yeah. Well, here's what it's called. It's called ScreensTV.com with a K.
Jesus.
ScreensTV. Freaking awesome. I brought it up to you, because you were like...
Question. What letter comes out to be K?
Screens. S-K.
Okay. All right.
The one that goes, that would be it. I'm a parent. Oh,
okay.
My God. The thing was shit hot. It was, they had it, they were showing it. They had multiple PS4s and Xboxes.
So all this just gets displayed on the screen at the same time?
Yes. Like, now, I haven't
How is that not confusing as all get
out?
I don't know how they handle the audio. And it was so loud that I didn't even get the ad.
It was so loud.
But I was sitting there going, you know, you can have...
Maybe that's what the screen does. It creates so much noise you can't tell.
I don't know. But also good for porn. I didn't think of that till later. But they were asking me, like, what do you think it's good for? And so I was like...
Did you say porn?
No, I didn't think of that one. I was like, D&D.
Sometimes you want to watch 8 orgies at once.
It's really an orgy of orgies? Is that like, is that an orgy square?
No,
like,
it's a murder of orgies.
A murder of orgies? That's mixing two things, that just sex and violence.
A pax of orgies.
I don't know
a murder of crows.
I know, but I'm saying it mixes sex and violence.
A pride of
ostensibly.
Orgies?
We got to come up with it.
We'll think about it.
Flock of orgies. Didn't we swear this was not going to be a porn episode?
We tried so hard. Not really. We tried to try.
Yeah. So they had all these sources going into the same one. I was thinking about how if we all move to the four winds that you could have Skype up on everybody's screen. You can see everyone at the same time. And hopefully it's smart enough to hop between audio, but or you could get it to where it would do that. And then also have a camera like on the DM and on the map.
I love you, Key, but I'm not watching porn with you.
I didn't mean porn. I'm in Skype for the D&D. For D&D,
okay.
We get all of us together, then there's a DM, and you have one camera on the DM, one camera on the map,
okay.
And then have everybody up on a screen.
There are virtual tabletop apps out there, too.
Well, that's awesome, too. I'd have seen them at PAX. That would have ranked.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah, I can't think of any names. But I know they're out there.
I would immediately buy another cable box for my man cave, and then have two cable boxes. I'd have at least two football games on at any time. I realize you can have red zone and hop between, but this way I could actually have, have quasi all
so,
sorts of
on games. Their website, just to help you, Key,
there's
a whole section called How the Audio Works.
Uh-huh.
So when it supports audio and all the inputs, and basically whatever your main, so they call the big window of all the video input, the main one, they call it the main screen with a K. Everything's screens.
Screen! Extreme!
It hurts a little bit to read, but so basically...
Is it bad that I'm thinking Dave Chappelle going, screen!
So you can pick what audio is on, is running through the main kind of loop.
Mm-hmm.
But then it streams all the other audio via Wi-Fi, so anybody can hear the audio like on any other device any other screen.
That's
in your
awesome.
Screen. This is all with the K, so it's kind of crazy. But because they're just streaming everything,
right?
Basically, it's like it takes a bunch of video inputs and then it just streams them, like HDMI inputs, video and audio, and it just streams them, and then you can multiplex and do all kinds of weird.
I, for one, am relieved that we finally have a reason not to leave our houses anymore. I think that's
overdue.
Internet.
I thought that was the reason.
I can have football and Sesame Street on at the same time, man. I'm cooking. Put headsets on my kids. We're all, particularly if you have a projector. Holy shit.
I would say you probably need a really big panel to like hold a lot of content. Because otherwise, if you have like a 14-inch TV, and you have like seven sources, you know what I mean?
Blasphemers!
Even 32 inches
who's
is
doing
like
that?
Cramming a lot of things in here.
Yeah.
You want
unless
a big
you're
screen.
Sitting with your face right there.
Yeah, you want a big screen, I would say.
Mm-hmm. That's okay, I already want a big screen, so this works for me.
Get one of those 108, 108-inch TVs.
I thought you were already rocking the big poppy. No?
I have a 65-inch, but...
That's pretty big.
I guess y'all haven't been to my new house. I'm going to get to have a man cave. Right now, it's filled with boxes.
Well, I thought you were selling it next week.
That's the old house. That's the old house.
I thought you were selling the new house, too.
Oh, no.
What? How does that make any sense? Where are you going to live?
Old house. No, old house. Only old house. But the new one, you got a man cave in it.
So. Are you going to build a throne out of the boxes in the man cave?
We had so much paper that we filled one of the rooms of the house paper, and just let the kids. They called it the snow room.
The snow room.
Oh yeah, I could crawl through there and not be seen. You just belly crawl. It was this high.
Is that just the paper from the box from like the wrapping of the moving stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, you like get a giant package. Like
bigger
than a basketball. You start unwrapping it around. Mm-hmm. Get down to the bottom, and it's like the top of a Tupperware.
Happened to me when I was a kid. I had a Power Rangers action figure, and it was like an 8-inch figure, and it had like a little plastic gun that was like 1 inch tall, and inside one of these huge pieces of paper wrapped up the size of a basketball, just like you said, was this little plastic gun.
Terrible. I don't want to be damaged.
When I was like 11 or 12.
God. Yeah, so everything was like that.
Paper. Excess paper.
Oh, God, that paper. Oh, it took 8 hours to get all that paper folded up into, like, 20 boxes.
Man.
Just to get the paper out of the way. And then I've got boxes stacked, you know, 4 feet high all over the place.
Three boxes?
Broken down. They still stacked up that much. And so,
The kids didn't build a fort?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, good. It didn't even make a dent in the number of boxes.
Were you like, God damn it, it doesn't look like King's Landing. Try it again.
We had kids coming all over. They were all coming and building stuff. It was awesome. I had to kind of show
we're
them.
We're sorry, Your Grace. Please make your children call you that. Now that I fought on
Your
it.
Grace.
Well, now.
That needs to happen. All right, so bringing it back to Pack South.
Rovors!
So, story time was Jeff Keighley.
Yeah.
How do we feel about that?
Man, that and later, like, they just cannot take a stance on Gamergate to save their life. They do not want to offend anyone. The people who are offending others that are pro-Gamergate or otherwise.
Glad you brought that up. Why do you guys think that is?
Because pro-Gamergate people still pay money to go see them. So, I think it's a business issue. I think if they really wanted to, they'd just say, stop it, this is bullshit, this hate speak and this harassment, but they don't want to risk alienating a significant portion of their audience, is my thought on that. I don't see any other incentive.
That was mine as well, and I think that's cowardly. I think it's okay to lose those people if they really feel that strong, that's, I need to troll.
I mean, really, like, it's the right thing versus the business decision. Like, yeah. They should do the freaking right thing. And I don't think they did.
One of our cohorts that I'll leave him nameless because it's not really important, point made the argument that they feel like Penny Arcade's fan base probably has members of both opposing groups, and the thought was, let's not get in the middle of this shit.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's more defensible, and it's not Jerry Holkins nor Mike Rahulik's job to police the goddamn internet nor their fan base.
That's fair.
All that being said, I am disappointed they didn't come down harder on it.
Because ultimately, I think it's a personality-driven event and their business, and it's about who they are still, whether they want to distance themselves from it or not.
Yeah.
And if they have a stance, they should take it, because they're not afraid to take a stance on anything else. Yeah. Like, they'll say outright, they've gotten in plenty of trouble about saying things that are, you know, that they think are bullshit or not that they
don't
like.
Which they then in turn disavow to explicitly make people feel welcome at PAX.
Yeah.
So why not this?
Because I think it's more of a right-wrong issue versus the other things that they've had opinions about. I don't think there's anything you can say that defends harassment online. Like, there's not a single argument you can make. Not a single one.
But that's not anti-pro Gamergate.
Gamergate,
right?
Is all about harassment.
I thought, you see,
it was like again, a semantically no sense. Yeah.
Well, that's just it. Coming from where I really know very little about Gamergate. But let me give you what I think Gamergate is.
If you say ethics and games journalism, I'm going to lose my shit.
Okay. That's what I thought it was about.
It's not about ethics and games journalism.
Which is why
it's what the people who are for Gamergate will tell you it's about, but it is not.
Okay, wait a minute. Then forget the word Gamergate. Are we for ethics and game journalism?
Sure.
Independent of what's happening.
Forget all that. Yeah,
sure.
I'm
for ethics in all journalism.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
that's
actually a subgenre of the idea that no one is policing the awful shit that is being said in social media. That's really what they're talking about. They're trying to, like, run it through the filter of Assassin's Creed.
I thought Gamergate was, tell me if I'm wrong, was first aimed at, there were questionable things doing an ethical level for journalists.
Here, I'll tell you the history.
No. Was that how it started?
Well, I'll tell you the history. You have to be able to answer your question, I have to tell you how it started. So I have to tell you the history.
In the beginning. Oh,
okay. So it's not what I just said.
It is, but it is not at the same time.
Shit.
Speaking
of Mel's statements.
Look, because it's complicated.
He's going to get mad at me.
It's not black and white. No, it's not black and white. It's gray, so I have to explain it. So.
Well, I was
a journalist. A games
journalist
was accused of giving favorable treatment to someone he dated. That was a games developer. I won't even name names.
Right. So
accused.
So that,
accused. They, and okay. the accusations were not lobbied against the journalist. They were lobbied against the developer, and she was harassed.
Okay.
And docs.
So at the beginning, it was a question of ethics and game journalism.
And even then, no. Because ultimately what drew attention to this whole situation was that the ex-boyfriend, the journalist, just started posting horrendous comments about the game developer online and got everybody upset that she dumped him. And then through that conversation... So,
hang on. This is like Knots Landing. Hang on.
No, actually, because I am a little bit too, but let me, I'll boil it down for you. Petty ex-boyfriend, look, girlfriend shit.
Ex-boyfriend.
There was a void of nothingness. There was no criticism of, hey, why is this being done? So basically, it all started with a boyfriend posting some bullshit about his ex-girlfriend.
Complaining about his ex-girlfriend, who was a developer and he was a journalist. Okay. Then posting nude photos of her that she sent him in private.
Okay, no, wait. But it started with
him posting shit.
What was he complaining about her?
She was
posting biased stuff for him?
No, he got dumped and he was complaining about her as his ex-girlfriend.
Just as a human being.
Yes.
Okay. And so he was an asshole. He was just doing asshole.
He was being a complete asshole.
All right. Okay. So we started with that.
And because his job happened to be in journalism.
So then
he wrote about the game she developed. Everybody started thinking that there was a collusion, but there was not. But there's no evidence of collusion, and the
son of a bitch.
And more
to the
point,
more to the point,
the whole aspect of the collusion instantly like got drowned out in all of the harassment and online death threats and doxing and everything of women who make games. That's what it's really about.
That's
and
how
if they weren't such
that is
bitches,
what
Gamergate they
is
would
about.
Go out with nerds.
Okay, so there's just idiots.
It's entitlement.
Okay, well, wait a minute.
And sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Where was
and sexism.
At some point when I went flying past this on the internet, where I hit when there was an argument on the ethics part.
Yeah, because that's what the people who are doing the harassment want you to believe it's about to justify their harassment.
They're freedom fighters.
But when I hit, it was before there were any death threats.
No, there were death threats from the very beginning. And there were people sharing Zoe Quinn, who's the developer, her personal photos that she sent to her ex-boyfriend in private all over the internet. People sharing her address.
Sending her death threats,
going to her home address, and threatening to kill her, and all kinds of other terrible things.
I take it back. This is an episode of This American Life.
It's freaking terrible. Like, and Gamergate is just the hashtag that all of this is, that wraps around all of this. So really,
so these guys could find each other on
Twitter. Even if there were
no argument over the ethics in journalism,
let me answer that question with this question. Did you really think there would be?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, if you're dating somebody, that's
you were just describing these people and their fetid odors.
Yes. Oh yeah. No, don't get me wrong.
I use the term people loosely.
I am entirely divorced from all the assholes doing the stupid things. But there were some people, it might be a small subset, that were like, if you're dating somebody, you shouldn't be
reporting. Yeah, but that's the problem is the people who were saying that were also sharing nude photos of people that they didn't have permission to share and threatening to kill people.
No, these are
the same
reputable like joystick and
so they were reporting on it. They were reporting on it. They were not questioning it. There's a difference.
What?
When they're reporting on what's going on and the facts surrounding how Gamergate got started, they were not asking the question. They were not investigating the ethics.
You're telling me that nobody out there was investigating the ethics.
No, I think people were trying to, but the problem is when all this harassment took over, it got drowned out.
Okay. Now, my question is if somebody's trying to and then all this other bullshit, when you say Gamergate, which one is it about?
See, that's the problem.
It's about the bigger one?
It's the bigger picture.
So, when you're pro or anti-Gamergate, it has nothing to do with the ethics and journalism.
It's a complete moot point. Because
what kind of dumbass would be pro-Gamergate on, we should be allowed to...
Back to 15 minutes ago. How is sex harassment of any kind, sexual or not, at all defensible?
I can tell you. If you think that arguing about... No. Wait a minute. No. Stop. Wait. If you think you're arguing about ethics and journalism and have no idea about this other shit, because you are not an internet troll, and you think you're having a discussion on the internet... No, I could totally see where if I thought this was ethics and journalism, I kept my mouth shut because there's such a conflagration. I've never weighed in on it on Twitter at all, but sure. Because I knew there was noise and I didn't understand it. If I thought...
Hey, bravo on that, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. You never expect that from me.
You are one adult star.
Yeah, right. If you think that there's an argument over ethics in journalism going on,
which then, no one at Penny Arcade thinks.
I did.
But no one at Penny Arcade thinks that.
Not I have no idea.
No,
saying,
I'll tell you. I'll guarantee you.
Okay. I would have been like, I'm pro Gamergate. There shouldn't be, questionable ethics in journalism.
Let me weigh in here. That's, to Ariel's point. I had no idea that was the inciting incident.
What?
But I know it's not okay to, threaten to rape someone on Twitter.
Yeah, but if you don't know any of that, and all you know is there's a discussion on ethics and journalism, many folks would be, I'm pro-gamer.
But see, you did the smart thing. You didn't say anything because you waited to be informed. You asked us, people you trust, for more information. You, looked it up, right? So, but anyone who stands in front of a crowd in that event at PAX or any other PAX or any other thing, and they're talking about Gamergate, they know everything about Gamergate.
No,
they
that's
do.
Not true.
Yes, Jeff Keighley does.
You say talking in front of a crowd, you mean
in front
the professionals
of a crowd.
That
yes,
are up on stage.
Yes, a professional.
Oh, I just thought you meant some moron that would stand up in front of a crowd.
No. I'm talking about the people.
I'm a hair shy of being that guy.
The people who are giving speeches, standing in front of podiums at places like PAX.
Okay.
Know exactly what Gamergate is about.
Okay.
They've been steeped and living in that. So there's no way that's defensible. No way. If you're in that position, if you're in those people's shoes. So why hedge? Why not pick a side? You have to pick a side.
It's got to be the games journalism angle.
But no, it's not. It's the half of our audience is one side, half of our audience is the other side, and we don't want to alienate them, and we don't want to lose money by kicking out, by essentially kicking out half of them.
Maybe,
I think
right?
That's what it is.
And again, I'll speak for me personally. If that's what it is, that's disappointing.
That's incredibly disappointing.
Yeah.
If that's what
you have to pick a side.
I mean, these guys are fathers,
yeah.
Right?
They know what Gamergate's about. They know what it's about.
Yeah.
There's no excuse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah. Yeah. Keyshawn, to your point, if it ever was about the inciting incident, the thing between which was essentially
they
which wasn't an inciting incident, apparently.
It was it
was. Inciting incident
was
an asshole that was mad at his girlfriend.
It was
incident number two. That's what
But I mean, even if it was incident number one, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, it got so drowned out by all the harassment that
it became Gamergate.
Yeah, you can't use Gamergate anymore. If you want to make this argument, you have to go a different route. You have to If you want to make the ethics argument and pursue that now, if you were trying to start,
you can't call it Gamergate.
You can't call it Gamergate. You got to pursue a different route because now Gamergate means this. It means this, and you know who defined it that way? All the people that harassed.
How many people that don't know that?
I'm telling you,
I'm one, and I'm not completely blind to the internet.
Would you tweet out with the Gamergate hashtag if you didn't know what it was? No.
Your
pausing tells me
no. Go a step further. Would you say rape them all? Hashtag Gamergate.
Yeah.
No.
Because there's apparently that guy's out
but
there.
If you see an article, which I did, that was entirely about the ethics in journalism.
And what about the follow-up articles?
No. I saw a article. I'm not reading a bunch of articles.
Where did you find this article?
I can't remember. I read it 3 months ago. It was long ago.
Are you on
but
drugs?
It was entirely on. No, it was entirely. We're back to that. It was like right off Pornhub. There was an article.
Man, this
I'm bringing it around for a certain full circle. No, there was an article
like
I read that was
our best and
about
our worst.
The ethics in journalism. It was talking about ethics in games journalism and about how and it waxed poetic about companies that give the lead.
All that is fair to talk about,
right? But it was in the context of Gamergate and about this woman that was giving unfair advantage for
which
a guy.
Again,
now,
true or not,
I would
matter.
Have thought I am pro Gamergate because I think there should be ethics in games journalism. And would read that and post that.
Be ethics in journalism, period.
Right.
Yes.
Why does Nintendo?
And moreover,
because it varies.
Moreover, whichever place you read that article in, because even if it was 3 months ago, literally, all the harassment had already been happening for months.
Well, no, dude, this is Keyshawn time. I have no idea if it was 3 months or eight.
Well, my point is, my point is,
window of time.
How do you trust a game site to talk about ethics in game journalism? How are you certain that they are not also compromised? It's kind of
no idea.
Yeah. So,
but again, it was in source, a void. It was in a void.
I know, but so. that has to be like all, that stuff has to be considered because it is an incredibly important turning point for the culture of video games. Gamergate. It is an incredibly important turning point. And thankfully, I think the right side is winning. Thankfully, after, and there's people are they're still suffering, still being harassed every day, like Anita Sarkeesian, every day, multiple death threats. But at least, people are turning a very watchful eye on this stuff, and things are starting to turn around a little bit. Thank God for that, because it's just insane. Nobody deserves to be treated this way. Not a single person.
Well, I think it was Brian Michael Bendis from Comics who recently retweeted something or said something on Twitter very recently, within the last week or so, that the Twitter's essentially their CEO or CR or whatever.
Yeah, they said we suck at harassment. Like,
yeah, it was like, yeah, we so that's, I guess, that right there is progress.
And without Gamergate,
we suck at harassment.
They suck at treating, they suck at, like, dealing with trolls. And dealing with harassers. They do not do a good job of Ooh. Having Twitter, having good tools.
Social media. Let's go a little further.
Marvel sucks at
yeah.
dealing with harassers. That's what
I'm just citing myself.
But you see how important this whole issue is? Because like people outside of the video game industry are also weighing in on this. This is a huge cultural problem. Sexual harassment of women in particular.
I'm gonna go one bit further. As our parent here, this is going to be something that's going to be scaring the hell out of you very soon.
Well,
you have kids that are going to be on Facebook.
The second that you see that you have a child up on that big screen. But
yeah,
my problem is that it's like saying we shouldn't have any idiots or crazy people.
No, but this is beyond that. Like, you have to see
how much harassment. Anybody doing that are idiots and crazy people.
But you have to see how many people are doing this to these individual people. Like, it's not just one or two crazies. This is a big problem that needs to have.
If you have, how many people are on the planet? 6 billion. If even a small percentage are crazy, and then how many of them have Twitter accounts, and how many of them are underneath 20?
Yeah.
Then, you know,
no, that's fair.
They're not all evenly spread harassing everybody else. They're harassing a fixed set of people.
That's right.
Who are trying to make a difference. So there needs to be a way of defeating those trolls in the sense that preventing them from continuing to harass the people that they're harassing. And Twitter's not good at that. And that's what Twitter admitted. The CEO.
Tell me what on this planet is.
What do you mean?
What on this planet is good at defeating that? There's nothing.
For example, the police.
Yeah, you can't do it in real life.
If someone keeps knocking on your door every day and threatening to kill you, you call the police, and they take care of it.
Cross
they put that person in jail.
On your lawn, also not okay anymore.
Okay,
but here's an example of what Anita Sarkeesian gets every day. She gets people will send her child pornography. They'll tweet her, DM her pictures of child pornography once an hour, every hour for an entire day. How is she supposed to stop that?
And
if
once
Twitter
she gets
doesn't disable
TV, her? Keyshawn, she's gonna be able to see 20 of them. What is she gonna do?
What? Oh,
yeah. She needs to have tools to be able to prevent that from happening because that's. Terrible. So
well,
Twitter needs to be
have
better.
That? Just delete your Twitter account.
Why would
you
do
another
that?
One?
That's giving in. Why would you do that? Why not?
I mean,
not
yes, give, you can do that.
Why not take away the Twitter accounts of the people harassing you when they're abusing the system? Now, Twitter's a corporation, so they have to have an incentive for doing this. So at first, they did not have the incentive, and it's taken months to get them to this point. So I agree with you, Cyrus, that the CEO standing up and saying, we suck at dealing with trolls, is like a huge moment, I think, for the service.
Yeah.
Probably won't affect their stock price very much, but in terms of goodwill,
yeah.
It's certainly helping them generate some goodwill.
And you know, this is not something they're going to be able to fix overnight. Hmm. And I get that. So.
And there are a lot of people that have plenty of suggestions for them on how, technologically speaking, they could achieve this. Yeah. It's possible for them to do it.
It's a First Amendment thing. And the First Amendment does not protect hate speech. It never has.
Well, and it doesn't protect against consequences to your speech. So a consequence to you being an asshole is people start ignoring you and blocking you. Yeah. And they just need to be good tools for blocking people. And Twitter has their ways around that, and people have discovered that to the point where it's, you know, hundreds of people threatening these individuals, and it's just wrong.
Yeah. No, for sure.
But as you can tell,
it works out.
But as you can tell, I have a strong opinion about this.
No,
I don't think it's right, and I don't think Penny Arcadia should like I said, hedge and just let it go. It's just it's a right and wrong thing.
Yeah, I get it, but yeah,
yeah, I understand that. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
I don't think for hedge.
Do you think it's a strong play?
I think that you don't wade into that.
So you don't pick a side. So you implicitly allow it to happen.
No, you're not allowing it.
You're not disallowing it either. So you're allowing it to exist. You're letting those people continue to.
So's Bank One.
How?
Has Bank One weighed in on it?
Bank One?
Yeah. The company.
Weighed in on
Gamergate? It's not the people. It's the company. That's a company event.
Yeah, but Bank One is not driven by personalities. Bank One is not driven by personalities. It's a very different industry.
No, it's a business decision.
Yeah, and I'm saying, that's what I was saying earlier. I'm disappointed because I think it's a business decision. And
it's a different kind of business, though.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be a business decision. It's a right and wrong kind of issue. And for a personality-driven business like Penny Arcade is, they're sending a message when they don't take a stand. They're sending a message.
Yeah, they're making a business.
Yeah, which is disappointing as a fan, is what we were saying. I mean, I think that's where it ends.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much more to say other than
no.
I am disappointed.
And if you're not, I think that's fair, too.
Yeah.
I'm more it's just pragmatic on, you know, they're making
Look,
every time that poor Gabe starts getting asked about Dick Wolves, he has stepped in it every time. No matter what he does, he steps in it.
It's true.
If anything... This is a little bit sign of maturity, is what I see it as. Is like, you know,
yeah.
This
is a lot thornier. That was just a joke that got taken badly, right?
Depending on who you're talking about,
because like, that it's one, the opposite. It's the opposite.
A different group.
It's inverted though. Like what he said offended people. Like speaking out against harassment is the opposite of that.
That's true.
It's speaking out against people being like against people who are offending others.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, and you could even say that. Like, how about this? How about not mention ethics in game journalism at all and just say we shouldn't be harassing people online? Cut it out.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I
there's
if that offends a certain kind of person, you don't need that as a client.
We're just back to what we were just talking about a few minutes back.
Yeah.
But
I would just say, know thyself. They're a public entity. They're a public entity. They are a, what was the term you used a while ago?
Personality driven,
and their personalities are not the type that they would eloquently come up and just say this statement on it and then retreat. They would get into a discussion.
Jerry is,
and
Jerry might be, but
they haven't like even with the whole Dick Wolves thing, they haven't been afraid to express their opinion. So if their opinion is that they're pro or
minor, I thought they came out saying they're not going to talk about it anymore.
But they said that after three times. Of stepping in it.
Exactly. They stepped in it. So that, I just look at them as like, oh, God, this is our next Dick Wolf. We just need to keep our mouths shut.
Well, I think they can be better than that. I think they could check and kind of do a little bit of research about what they might say and do a better job rather than just mouthing off. But I think it's important for people to take a stand. And I'm disappointed as a fan that they did.
Yeah. Let me come at this from another angle. Robert Koo has been very vocal... The point that I think it's kind of absurd about being anti-Booth Babe. This is way more important than, you know, whether the person showing me a Nintendo game is wearing a bikini or not. Sorry, that's my...
Well, it's interrelated in a lot of different ways, actually. So, more to the point, they should take a stand. If they're against Booth Babes or against sexism in games, and they should take a stand on Gamergate.
When you say they, who do you mean?
Robert Koo is a representative of Penny Arcade.
Okay. Koo could.
And he does as
a... I don't think that Gabe or any of them...
But they all represent the same company.
No, there's different roles.
But they represent the same company.
Koo, you know, if you want to say that Koo could have the wherewithal to get up and say that, I agree. But I don't think the other ones should at all.
You're conflating making a statement with, like, representation. They all three represent the same company, the same entity, Penny Arcade. They all own that convention.
Differently.
They all represent the same company.
Differently.
They don't own a third, a third, and a third. They all represent the same company.
Right.
So if they make a joint statement that's a press release, let's say, and separate themselves from manually speaking into a microphone.
The roles
it's just
are
as
different,
important.
But they're all super important. PAX does not happen without Robert Koo.
Right. But what I'm saying is if you're making a statement and it's going to be with your mouth, Robert Koo needs to be the one that's saying it, not anybody else.
But they should. But Mike and Jerry should put them
look at
their...
this as a business, which, regardless of if it's a personality-driven business or whatever, it's a business first. And that's the reality of all this. Otherwise, they're not charging you to go to PAX.
But still,
I mean, that's the reality.
But again, like thing. it's a right and wrong thing, and they've already established policies like the Booth Babe policy that shows that they take a side on things like that. So go the next step.
Strongly, I would say.
Yeah, but I would say there's not exactly the level of furor over Booth Babes as there is over this Gamergate.
Depends on who you ask, a man or a woman. I think women will be much more offended by having Booth Babes in the booths than men.
Let me give you a better example. What the big battle is.
There
right
are
now.
Rules on battle. Your PAX badge about how you're expected to treat a cosplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. In a way.
I think so.
It's an anti-harassment policy.
I mean, yeah.
So they're already taking a stand against harassment.
I think it's like the third rule on the actual badge.
But complete the circle.
Wait a minute. If they're already taking a stand on harassment, what more can they do?
They can say...
Well, when someone asks them in the main theater at HBG, how do you feel about this? You don't ask them.
Yeah, just what they did.
And what did they do? What did they say?
Very precious little.
Yeah, there was like a throwaway statement.
I mean, it was like, yeah, this is bad.
They didn't even say that. They didn't even go that far, I don't think. Yeah. It was some hemming and hawing about treating everybody like a human being or something.
Actually,
and then
wait a minute.
Isn't that exactly what you wanted?
I remember. Jerry brought it back. Jerry actually dodged it. He brought it back to PAX. He's like, that's not us. You know, you come here and you see us and everyone loves each other. Which is true. It's a pretty cool show. Pretty cool deal.
But it's
like
a dodge.
That. It is.
It's a dodge.
It is.
Because there's plenty of pro Gamergate people like that.
Because they didn't come down on it.
They didn't take a stand one way or the other.
At least not forcefully. I would define it. Yeah.
They didn't take a stand.
I think it's okay to give him a pass if you feel that way, especially if you're really convinced that. You know,
I was leaning
first,
towards giving him a pass at all, and then I hear, well, no, wait, actually, they did address it.
They did not address it.
Well,
they got asked a question.
Not really.
They got asked a question, and they said, well, PAX is a positive experience, basically.
Yeah.
We don't see that here. But it's like, there are plenty of people that go to PAX that, when they're not at PAX and they're on Twitter, probably do some nasty shit, and they should be told not to do that.
To that point, we have a friend who will remain anonymous, mostly because I don't want to get attacked by these assholes we're talking about, who will not attend PAX because she feels that they're not policing this stuff stringently enough. They have just lost a customer from a purely business perspective.
So you're going to lose customers one way or the other if you take a stand, but you may be able to sleep better at night if you take one kind of stand versus another.
Yeah.
But hey, you know. There's always the next PAX and the next PAX after that.
At the end of the day, I feel like I know these guys. Yeah. Given their personalities, as you say, are part of the business. I know where they're at on this, so I'm not upset with them. But again,
I'm disappointed. And Jeff Keighley, who was the keynote speaker, also had an opportunity, and he did not.
Yeah,
he hedged as well. So,
but yeah,
you know.
Which would suggest there's a concerted effort to, like, we're going to stay the hell out of this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's smart. I mean, Keyshawn might be right here, but...
I'm not denying that it's a smart business decision in terms of keeping your existing available market served.
Yeah.
Because you're going to cleave part of your served available market aside. You're going to lose a bunch of customers who are offended.
Well,
they will boycott.
Maybe this is what Key is driving at. There's a time and resource aspect of, like, staying out of this that's germane as well.
That's what I'm talking about. The available market. There's a market. Mm-hmm. There's a number of people that go to PAX.
Yeah.
And if you take a stand, some number of those people will go away. They will be offended by choosing a side, and they will go away.
What I was going to posit is they won't go away.
Yeah.
Now you're on Twitter fighting those fuckers 6 hours.
Some of them will. Trust me, man. This is Twitter. Some of them are going to get outraged, and you're going to lose those as customers. You would lose them as customers to PAX. They would not pay for tickets. Some percent. What the percent is up for debate.
I'm worried about is they would you'd have to start dealing with their shit on social media.
Now wait a minute. Why would they not already be boycotting it? Because they have something on their badge that says don't harass.
They say don't harass cosplayers. They didn't take a stand on Gamergate, which is the
overarching. So since they didn't say don't harass anybody.
No,
we're okay. PAX. We can harass everybody else.
Dude, you're missing that. You're changing the argument.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. Because you're
not intentionally.
But you are, because you're referencing a very specific rule for a very specific 3-day period in a very specific convention center. Instead of what we're saying is they need to take a stand globally on harassment.
What you are saying is they are going to boycott PAX.
If they take a stand against Gamergate, some portion of people will boycott PAX.
And if they take a stand against Gamergate, they're saying, do not harass people.
Online at all. Do not harass people online.
All right. And these people think it's so okay to harass that if people stand up and say, don't harass.
Well, the weird thing is some of them really view themselves as freedom fighters, and they actually think it's their duty to do these things.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly, the bizarre thing. I think at this
that's
point,
what I haven't seen. I that's think, what I'm trying
I was
to get.
Say. I think at this point, Key, I think that's what you need to do. You need to go down in the depths of this dark
shit.
If you really want to understand.
No, I
what
don't.
Is, well, then
I really
then,
don't.
Then don't. Then I don't think you have much to argue about because you don't understand the full picture, I'd say. The full picture includes those people. The full picture includes those people because that's what it's all about.
Fair.
It's what it's all about.
You don't have to be well researched. Just know stupid when you see stupid.
I think you do because there's a certain class of behavior that if you don't understand how it manifests, you don't understand what kind of positions you have to take to defeat it. It is not as simple as black and white as these dudes are idiots, ignore them. I promise you that.
Yeah, and I've had friends, and this is not just Keyshawn. You know, I've talked about this with since PAX South and since, you know, the quote unquote dodge that we're describing here, and I feel like those that are like there is definitely a contingent like there's always been bullies. So.
Yeah, it's not that's not,
and it's like it's yeah, that's true, but this is something else. I think unless yeah. I mean I haven't
that's
been
not
high school
engaging
a long time,
problem.
But
that's not engaging with the problem. I think
yeah,
that's,
for sure.
That's dismissing the problem and taking the experiences of the people that have been harassed beyond normal bullying.
Yeah.
Like, that's dismissing their experience, I think, in a way. And I'm not saying that in terms of being, you know, like, disparaging those people that are doing that. But that is what's happening. Like, it is incredibly scary what's happening to the people who are being
harassed. So maybe to bring this, at least maybe a capstone thought, I think we're going to see very shortly, unfortunately, they're not going to be able to dodge it. Because, again, what I'm hearing is that this is already becoming a problem at PAX. So they probably are going to have to address
it. It's going
to
keep coming up.
Yeah.
Where is the pro Gamergate contingent?
Search hashtag Gamergate on Twitter.
But that's where they are?
I mean, they don't all have a basement.
I just wondered, like, a website that was like pro Gamergate.
You can go to 4chan and look at all the disgusting things people say there. You can go to Reddit. And you can go to Twitter.
No, I mean,
yeah, I know. It's just that's like you can go and dredge the bottom of
those people that actually find people's addresses and send SWAT teams to their houses, those people are on 4chan and Reddit and Twitter.
No shit. Yeah.
But they're causing real life damage. That's why you can't just ignore them. Just because they're in the bottom basement of the internet doesn't mean that they're actually not hurting people. They're hurting people on a daily, and sometimes hourly basis. Like, that needs to stop.
Because those people don't want to delete their Twitter account.
Why should the people who are being harassed delete their Twitter account and not the people who are doing the harassment? Can you answer me that?
Yeah, you can start another Twitter account.
And then they'll find you there and harass you there.
5 seconds.
That's the problem. That's how the people that troll keep the trolling going. They get their account blocked, they start another account,
and
they do it again.
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like it's okay that they would have to do that?
Should you have to move if you're being threatened constantly?
That kind of sucks.
If anything, I would differentiate
deleting a Twitter account from having to move from your house.
But see, one
that's
I don't
fair.
Think,
but I think
those
we're,
are
arguing,
the same
we're arguing degrees.
But, well, I guess
yes, it is an argument.
I
degree.
Guess there are so many people, and it's just absolutely not me, that their Twitter account is part of who they are. And, you know, me, I'm just like, I just delete that.
Yeah, but when you had a Twitter account and people harassed you and they found your address and started sending you live death threats and showing up at your house,
Well, that's illegal already.
But it doesn't matter if you deleted your Twitter account or not. Now they have more than just your Twitter account.
Right, that's illegal already. We already have laws in place
to do that. But there are literally dozens of people doing that to these people, to these women, all the time.
And that's a job for the police.
And they call the police, but they still are under threat. So it's not like all those people just magically get arrested. When the threat happens and they tweet you, I know where you live. You live here. And then you're sitting in your house waiting for those people to show up so you call the cops. You can never go back to your home. Your life is already ruined. And that's what people are doing surrounding Gamergate all the time. They will find your email address. They'll find your Facebook account. You close your Facebook account, you open a new one, they'll find that one too. Because you have an army of people literally trying to harass you at all times. That is wrong.
Are these all 18-year-olds that are just...
frustrated.
Right.
18 to 35
I mean, that's the stereotype, right?
Who else has the time? It's more than just a stereotype.
They're grown men doing this stuff too, man.
Because they can't form real relationships with human beings because that's how they think you're supposed to act.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they're putting on information out there where a truly crazy person could act upon.
This sounds like a legal problem more than just a technological problem.
But technology is going to solve it faster than the law will. That's why Twitter needs to step up and get better blocking tools.
Yeah. It is a legal problem. I agree with that, actually.
What?
I agree. It is a legal problem.
Yeah.
But the law will not move fast enough to assist with this.
It's true.
So technology has a better chance.
Tech is any solution is going to involve both.
Yeah,
it has to.
Yeah,
due to the speed. But when
people can find your address online,
and
there are no police to go show up to your online account and arrest you, you have to wait for a physical manifestation. There's an asymmetry there in terms of how much damage you can cause before something catches up.
It's worrisome. I think that's
It needs to stop. Which is what this thing for the last year has been all about. Because I think it's almost been a year now.
Actually, I don't think it has been, but I feel like
it's been since at least the summer of last year. Since at least the summer.
Yeah, I think
Nina Sarkeesian has been posting feminist frequency videos for a long time and been harassed herself. Then the Zoe Quinn stuff happened, I think, in the summer.
Yeah. Okay. I would have guessed autumn, but yeah. So,
I just keep going back to those poor innocent souls that think that there was originally a debate about...
The thing is that those...
The games journalists...
There are next to no people that are like that.
You were talking to one.
Yeah, you are one of the few people that are like that.
I can't be that unique.
Well, okay.
There's no way I could be that unique.
Maybe this will help you. If you're one of those people, Gamergate has become something else now.
Yeah, that's the picture. I'm feeling bad for those poor people
talking to their hour on what's wrong with journalism right now. If anyone is stupid enough to think that's just a problem in video games, they're not fucking TV for 5 minutes. So.
Yeah, it's not. And I think the people who think it's still about ethics and games journalism aren't passionate enough about it to read more into it where they would discover the other stuff. It's just not on their radar.
Yeah. And I personally don't think much on the social media to know.
So if it's not on your radar, if it's not on your radar and you don't care, then you're not taking a stand. But if you were informed, you might take a stand.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is inform yourself more if you care to do so. Yeah. And I think if you do that, if you're one of these people that's sitting on the fence.
What's the stand you're taking? That Twitter should do something, or that everybody should frown at it. Or
all those things. It is wrong to harass people online.
Okay, but that, I think even the people that are doing it know that.
No, they don't.
Oh, bullshit.
No,
they don't. They are entitled.
No, for real.
There's no way that people think.
See, again,
I can threaten this person with death.
Key, again, go read the threads where people are justifying their actions. Go read the thread. You'll see their logic.
They really do. They really do talk like they're trying to save like what they perceive to be their culture. Doing it in a very vile way.
And there's no way that's justified.
And it's both not true and bizarre.
These people think we are gamers.
Yeah. Yes, we're speaking for the true gamers.
We're allowed to break the law.
They think they're freedom fighters.
But they're allowed to, they feel like it's their moral obligation to
They feel like they're defending the homeland, and it is completely wrong.
So stupid.
Yeah.
So
but
dumb.
It's beyond stupidity. It's causing real people damage, and it needs to stop.
It is dumb. I mean, and maybe that's why you're not taking it seriously. And I think that's almost fair.
Yeah,
it's retarded. But
the thing is, you have to, when you see what damage has been done, you have to take it seriously.
I think so.
When you see how many people's lives have been ruined by this, you have to take it seriously.
I guess the serious part, I think, oh, well, we have police for that. Anybody that makes a death threat, whatever.
But if you make death threats on Twitter, it's hard for people to track you. And if you're a person getting hundreds
that's a legal problem.
Yes, but the law will not catch up fast enough. Technology will catch up faster. So Twitter
the law's already caught up. Thou shalt not issue death
threats. If someone sends you a death threat on Twitter and you report them to the police, how does the police track that person on Twitter to find out who they are in real life and then arrest them? I'll give you the answer. There is no such thing. You can post to Twitter and harass someone from a coffee shop and you'll never be caught.
Facebook?
Same thing.
Okay. So it's a legal problem.
No, what I'm saying is, whether it's legal or not, if you cannot be caught doing it, how do you stop it? You cannot call the cops because the cops are ineffective.
The tech is not there to help the cops.
It's helping the harassers. It's helping the harassers. So Twitter and places like Twitter need to have better tools to help the people being harassed.
You're just going to a dangerous place.
That's fair.
To allow people to be...
You're saying no anonymity.
No, I'm not saying that.
You want the cops to be able to track them?
No. I asked you a question because you said it was a legal problem. And I'm saying, how does the law solve this? And you didn't have an answer for me. So I'm telling you, the answer is get better tools to block people online so that they can't create a new account out of nowhere, like an egg account on Twitter, and then keep harassing you. Create better blocking tools. That's what I'm saying. Not reduce anonymity online. That's all Twitter has to do. You have to create better blocking tools and make it so that accounts that have zero followers and zero tweets
are
able to harass people that are verified.
Unquestionably more efficient with the way to do it that way.
And they can do it. They can put 10 engineers on it or less and get it done.
Yeah. Well, it feels weird. We live in an age where we have like parental controls for TV. We don't have a way
it
to
can
like
be
effectively
done.
Block
it
a
can
troll
be done.
On Twitter.
It can be done.
Oh, I know.
Again, it's the corporate incentive to do so as a business. Do they have the incentive to do so? And until recently, Twitter hasn't been enough complaints on leveraged against Twitter to make them move. And the fact that the CEO...
Coming back to the original point. So when personalities with great... whose voices carry far over the mountain speak about this shit...
Stuff moves. Comes. Stuff moves, man. Yes.
So when Penny Arcade, which is a big part of gamer culture, does not say anything, it's a little weird.
Because they could move. They could move things in the right direction.
You think so? It wasn't too many years ago where they were on Time's top 100 people of the year.
They could move things in the right direction.
You guys saw a tiny PAX and how many people came out to it.
Yeah.
And how many things were recorded for Twitch TV. And I could not watch them because
right,
the bandwidth was fucked.
You're right, Cyrus.
And I'm
You're
still
right.
bitter about it.
You've ever watched something on Twitter? On Twitch?
TV? Yes.
Yeah.
I can barely do it, even from home. I have the most ridiculous speed internet I've ever had. In my new house.
Yeah, fiber?
No. But
he's not very consistent.
I've got Time Warner's paltry attempt. You know? And Twitch TV is always like 10 seconds and then...
I never have a problem with Twitch. I'm able to stream.
I'm okay with the live streams. If I want to watch a recording,
though. I haven't watched too many recordings. I mostly watch live streams. And I usually have a pretty good
Oh, no, the recordings.
That's
like
why I had to watch half a PAX one year.
I watched Kurtz's thing with his dad.
I tried.
It was horrible. It was just, you know, joke.
You did better than I did. I got that damn circle.
Oh, yeah. I actually got it up on screen and fought my way through it over the course of 3 hours.
It might have been that
they
were just getting hammered by other people. Like, the thing just can't handle the load.
Yeah.
This was a week later.
Yeah, I mean, Kurtz didn't post it until, like, several days after the con, so it stands to reason that it could still be getting slammed.
No, it can't just be that, because it's not just Kurtz thing. It's everything I've ever tried to watch on Twitch. And I just figure that...
Come on, Twitch!
Young people
they're
are better
owned, they're owned
the
by Amazon
than
now,
me.
I think. So, they're owned by Amazon now, so... Their infrastructure should improve over time.
Yeah, they can deliver me the video and I can just watch it at home.
Well, I meant
give me a disc. That was a joke.
Yes.
A joke.
Yeah. EC2 should help them.
Back down, Cujo. Yeah. You've been riled for about 45 minutes of this thing.
Longer than that. I've been riled for months because it's an important topic.
I haven't followed this closely, but I do know the broad strokes of it. And outside of ethics and journalism, I guess. And it was just like,
it's just like not even, it's just, it's pointless to even talk about that.
Yeah. Well, it's not, but it's just not what your game is
in the context of this.
Yeah.
It's always important to discuss the ethics in general, especially when it comes to journalism, but not in this context anymore. It's salted the earth on all that in this context.
you gotta find new
earth for that stuff to grow.
Yeah, we need a new hashtag.
we do. And that's the thing too. Like people try to make all kinds of new hashtags. GameSpot 8.
People try to make it as bad to what? Things.
It's even, water games.
You gotta use Gazi now, like Ball Gazi, not ball like not in
Game Gazi,
not Deflate Gate. Is Balgazi. It's much funnier that way. You get some more modern.
Oh, this must be a meme I don't understand.
Deflategate was the Patriots.
No, that I knew. What's
so
Gazi?
Benghazi was the whole thing that the Republicans were like all losing their shit about. It was an inside job or whatever it was. So you gotta add Gazi now.
But I didn't realize Gazi.
Benghazi.
Benghazi, the city of Benghazi.
Right.
So like you just add.
The Gazi part.
The Gazi part.
Okay. I thought maybe Gazi meant something.
Balgazi was another hashtag that was like thrown around.
Oh, GOP.
What's the spelling? What's the spelling?
You can't come up with.
G-H-A-Z-I.
I'm glad you got that laugh. That was legit.
Over a spelling. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm a word guy.
Okay.
I don't say them well, but I love writing.
I'm a word guy. It's a writer, sir.
That's a
No. It's the enjoyment of.
He's a reader and a listener, not a writer.
That's right.
This is like thorax for Jerry.
Thorax. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some words that are great.
All right. So leaving Gamer Beat behind, blessedly, they were pretty great on stage all weekend. I thought.
Yeah.
The banter, I enjoyed the hell out of them.
They still do. They still got it, man.
Oh yeah.
They still got it.
Mm-hmm. They cracked me up.
Yeah. Good stuff. And Kurt's panel was funny.
It was good? Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there.
I got offended.
I didn't.
By Kurt's?
Yes.
Really?
I was amazed. Yes. I was offended. I mean, I got over it because I was enjoying everything. His dad had a stroke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
And riffing on his dad.
Oh,
yeah. But and again, he said in passing.
You have to joke about that stuff.
Well, you know, he's come so far. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
It's just other folks' dads have it.
Yeah.
And so that was tough. Yeah. And I'm sitting there just,
right on.
Fuck.
No, you should listen to him like go off on his mom being dead.
Oh, so she's dead. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he and Straub had like a whole thing at one point.
Oh, God.
And the audience did not know what to do.
Oh, shit. Well, for me, it was so good. Everything was so good. That even that part, I'm sitting there going, you know, it's like, that sucked for me. I'm probably offended, but I don't care. It's not that big a deal. And then it was, you know, there was way so much freaking good that I only bring up the offense at all just because I was
a hilarious panel.
For me to be offended,
I hope one day you'll watch it.
for me to be offended, I hardly get offended about anything.
It hit close to home, I guess. Is.
I think it was more that than it had anything to do with, like, true, oh, this is a terrible thing.
It's not like that. Yeah.
You know? I think it was just more, ouch, it hurts right here. You know?
Yeah.
So,
too soon.
Yeah.
His dad, man,
His dad fucking hilarious. Rocks. His dad rocks.
I met Frank first.
Holy shit.
I think he was berating Kurt for drinking a Coke.
Oh, yeah, the brother was awesome.
And his brother, Brian, I think is his name, right?
Like, Brian was too familiar with.
They had great banter between the three. And, like,
have you watched it? You haven't watched it? You just say
they carried.
That's so sad.
They
carried. You can come over and watch it over a three-hour period.
Frank winked at Aaron this made our weekend.
He did.
What now?
Frank, Aaron ran into Frank in one of the hotel lobbies and winked at her, made our weekend.
Yeah.
Didn't we all run into the whole pack after their thing, right?
But yes, the only she got winked at.
Well, I hope so. The rest of us were guys.
Hey.
So, yeah, it was.
We still are.
Y'all are guys. I'm dead.
Your
like you're I sprained my ankle
you're
standing.
You're Anakin with the helmet on.
I am, exactly.
You're fine.
I'm next to death.
Let
me look on you with my own eyes.
You gotta throw the Emperor off first.
We just need to rub a little action
then,
Neosporin on.
Actually,
no, hold the Neosporin.
After that, you have to be the Boo Ghost. It's not after.
Oh, and young again.
Yeah,
that's
dude,
right.
Come on.
Lucas
it's a renaissance.
It. Oh, have y'all spoiled for that?
No. I don't want to.
Okay.
Star Wars 7, Episode 7, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoiling the story.
Okay. No. All right.
I won't. Still
have
mad.
You, have
still,
you already spoiled
still,
yourself?
Are you? What do you think?
It's been 16 years.
Are we
years.
Less than a year from that movie being
yeah.
out?
Yeah.
It's been 16
shit
years.
To the yes, I
I'm still
myself.
Mad that they didn't keep that double-bladed lightsaber under wraps. What a holy shit moment that would have been if we'd seen that on the theaters.
Or I posit, what if there's an even bigger holy shit moment, and they said, well, we can let this one go. How's
let's,
that for hype?
Light trident. It's going to happen.
Hey, man. You never know. You never know.
I got dreams, man.
Just saying.
Vivid dreams.
Dream it.
So to those listeners that want to get back to the fun, they need to fast forward past the first hour and 2 minutes of this podcast.
No, listen to the first hour because it's important.
Well, tell you what, we have been going an hour. How about we close this one down and we'll do another one, another happier one. Anything else left to say about PAX before we leave it?
Oh, God. Oh, let's see.
We'll just make this the PAX recap.
The D&D was great.
Oh, I did want to ask you about that.
Uh-huh.
So your first time
with 5th
edition?
I'm a convert. I've got my paperwork right here, just in case we wanted to do it on the podcast. I was ready.
Are you certified in 5th edition? I understand. Should I even
I got a badge! That was great. That was a blast. 5th edition's awesome.
Yeah.
It's better in so many ways. It makes people that know 3.5 have to rethink what they're doing and can't just optimize their character and, you know...
Is this a subtle jab to someone we know? At someone we know?
A question subtle. That was a flat out actually,
other than one time where he could have saved the day and decided not to because that wasn't the most optimum thing to do. But no, even the others. It wasn't just at one. There were others. And I just the sheer movement away from the old one where everybody's in the same boat of, oh, what does this do? And, oh, this is simpler and this is different and that kind of thing. Oh, man, that
they've
was
they've pretty ingeniously pulled, like, the best pieces out of every version of the game.
Well, I wouldn't know about ingeniously because I think they did 4 first and kind of were like, okay, we got to back off. And it is smart if you took it onto its... If they had gone straight from 3.5 to that, then the word genius would definitely come to play. I think they've iterated well. And they've come to a really good spot.
That was what I was saying, yeah.
Oh, man. And I'm not even that good at this shit. You know, I'm just I know the burden that is 3.5 from having to listen to it. Just ad nauseum. And for 5 to be what it is,
one of the things I liked,
I like that.
One of the things I liked about 5, and I'm not a huge D&D player, but I've played...
RPG,
I played at AD&D growing up, and I played 3.5. I took on the yoke of 3.5 for a while, twice now. I took it on, threw it off, and took it on again, and threw it off again for various personal reasons. But playing a little bit of 5 at PAX, like, I like the background story that you can give yourself that kind of changes your character a little bit in terms of, like, your...
That.
Like, I think that's really cool, because, like, the narrative elements are what I like more than anything.
We made your character so you didn't have it.
Right.
But the classes now have, like, sub-kits.
And you can build a story for yourself that gives you different features to your character, like slightly different abilities based on what village you lived in or what you did in your past history.
And the beautiful thing, Keyshawn, is it's all story. It ain't mechanic.
Yeah.
It's not rules to know.
Yeah, it's just
It's
just based on the background of your character. I really like that. It's like it builds the narrative element of it, which makes things much more entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's always been. If you're doing it right. As
I'm
taking a hard stand on that.
On what?
I am pro 5th edition.
No shit, yes.
Oh, you just lost half your podcast.
Oh, shit. Really? You think half of them?
No.
Hell yeah, Riyadh, click delete.
No, man.
Unsubscribe.
He is not here to speak for himself, but you think he's against 5th edition, Riyadh?
Yeah.
Really?
You think
so?
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear him say
that. There's a certain kind of tinkerer that tinkerer that actually enjoys the math part of it. For them,
and we play with most of them.
Not anymore. Right. But there's a certain kind of person that does like Max Minning, because that for them that's the challenge.
Okay.
And I'm here to say those people are wrong.
No, I mean that's fair. You get what you want, but I mean,
seriously, if they want to play that kind of game, that's fine. It's there for them. They I'm are, just not interested.
And it's not like it's DC of D&D.
Wow, that's a harsh accusation.
Yeah, they're wrong.
We were so close to getting into the episode.
You started the entire fucking episode with the mention of DC. I actually thought we would go.
It was ironic. It was ironic.
Yes, it's a joke.
I know, but the mere utterance.
Okay, end it now.
So I did not.
End it now before it gets crazy.
The title should be "God damn it, we mentioned DC
and porn."
I don't know that there's much bitter self hate for mentioning porn.
Well, we were disappointed again in ourselves. It's a disappoint cast because we keep going back to things we don't want to talk about.
Oh god,
goddamn DC.
I like Arrow.
I really like it. And the Flash.
Flash 2.
Series on TV is awesome, too.
Yeah.
Both the shows. Extremely enjoyable.
Anybody here? God damn it.
Keyshawn Xavier. I appreciated all the ethics you brought to journalism tonight.
That is the nickname we're sticking with, by the way. Keyshawn's last name is Xavier. Or Anakin.
You're taking a stand there.
Right, yes.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. I'm Cyrus Mortizavi. I'm from 5th edition. Ariel Rodriguez, I appreciate your candor.
Yes, I have passions.
Yeah. And, you know,
I've never been accused of being...
Oh, please put that on your business
card. I've never been accused of being a dispassionate individual. Never. So
that's the title.
What?
I have passions.
I have passions.
Deal with it.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah. I have passions. Comment. Deal with it.
Talk about right at the end.
Oh, I know. Right?
That is the skin of your teeth. We got the title. I actually thought, what are we? Gamergate.
No, you don't want to title the episode.
No, that's what you just Gamergate.
Actually, for the purpose of ratings, you probably would.
Yeah, but you're gonna get all kinds of vitriol sent your way.
I have to delete my Twitter account.
No, don't delete your Twitter account. No,
I'm just saying I would have to.
I'm not saying avoid the topic. I'm just saying, the title.
And now we know why he has the nickname. Only smart guy here.
He sounded smart.
Okay. This has been Full of Sound and Fury. It was Full of Sound and Fury. It lived up to the title tonight. This and other episodes can be found on iTunes as well as FullofSoundandFury.com. Questions and comments, it occurred to me, we can take them. Feel free to drop me a line. Just no rape threats at RiseAgainProductions.tumblr.com.
That was bad. Now that's all you're going to get from me.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Well, that's not a first.
Bend over, Daisy May!
I mean, I've been to PAX.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Never called Daisy May, though. This has been a Rising in production. Copyright 2015.